Should the government break up Facebook? Thoughts on that? There is the effort to do that has just ramped up quite a bit. You may have seen this. 46 states have filed suit, including the state of Illinois, in addition to the Federal Trade Commission, and they are taking aim at Facebook. More on that in a moment. A little background here. Back in 1890, antitrust rules began 20 years after John Rockefeller co-founded Standard Oil. Congress nearly unanimously passed the first antitrust legislation, the Sherman Antitrust Act. Fast forward to now, 16 years after Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook as a Harvard sophomore in his dorm room, attorneys general from 46 states sued the social media giant in an effort to make it spin off its messaging service, WhatsApp, and the photo sharing app, Instagram. Break it up, they say. What's at stake? What would it mean for you or the future of technology? Let's talk to social media analyst Scott Kleinberg on loan from the Bob Surratt Show. How you doing, Scott?
Doing.
Hey, Scott, I'm sorry. I had your mic down there. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you make time for us, too. I know you're on with Bob every week, and you have a great perspective on these issues. So I said, you know what, let's see if Scott has some time for us today. So thank you for thanks for that.
Love talking to you anytime, so no problem.
Tell us, so this broke, and I thought, okay, well, this seems pretty huge. We all know Facebook is big and powerful, and we talk all the time about how much of our data they have, and there have been several lawsuits filed over the data they collect, including here in Illinois. But this would be different. This would actually be physically breaking it up and maybe impact the future of technology companies. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's very, very true. In fact, the fact that regulators want to break up Facebook, that is considered to be some of the biggest penalties that they could possibly ask for. It's different, you know, to say, you know, you have to play fairly, but it's different to completely unwind purchases like this. And what we have to keep in mind is Facebook purchased Instagram, I want to say 2012 for $1 billion. They purchased WhatsApp in 2014 for $19 billion. And one of the things that they have done that this, I don't hear enough people talking about this, which I think is fascinating, is that Facebook has spent all of their time since these acquisitions really trying to intertwine the network. So right now, if you go on your Instagram, you're going to start getting, and this has nothing to do with the story, it just happens to be timing, you're going to start to get notifications saying, if you'd like to combine your Facebook Messenger and your Instagram messages in one mailbox, click here and we'll show you how. And once you do, you can't go back to the other way. So what they're trying to do, and this is, again, this is not because of this story, it's just a product of the story, they want to make it so if they say, we want you to break up these things, there's going to be no way to break them up because they're all going to be interconnected. And that is the key thing here. It's one thing to buy a bunch of businesses and use them independently. And that's what they said they were going to do. But then as they grew, they decided to really use them all at one time together. And that is a very different thing to point out.
Well, that's interesting. And I haven't heard much about that. But it just wouldn't they just be forced to unwind whatever they've intertwined in terms of all the platforms that they did? Wouldn't that necessarily be part of it?
That would be part of it, but the question becomes, and of course, I mean, I know a lot about social media. I don't know a lot about technology, but if you were to go to people and say, you have to turn off this particular feature of this particular service, that's a lot different than going to someone and saying, you have to unwind all three of them. Now, I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying that that would be such a huge thing that they're asking. And Facebook, you know, when they were asked to comment on this, Facebook basically said, well, this was already done years ago, and now you guys are deciding that these purchases are not on the up and up, and they're saying something like, no sale is ever final. But see, that's just the thing where we come back to that intertwining. When this stuff first happened, when they first picked up Instagram, they said, you'll never notice a change in Instagram. Facebook and Instagram will always be completely separate. Most people knew that that might be true to start, but that could never be true down the road because they want to sell ads and do all of these things for data. But it turns out that now that just isn't the case anymore. So people don't realize that when they're using Instagram and they say to themselves, I'm not going to use Facebook, I'm going to use Instagram, they're still using Facebook. If they say, I'm not going to use Facebook Messenger, I'm going to use WhatsApp, they're still using Facebook. And that's the thing that regulators are really upset about, that there's no competition because people are afraid to compete against something so big.
I'm already seeing questions here come up about how did they allow it to happen in the first place? Isn't it easier than trying to unwind to go in the beginning and say, wait a minute, should we allow them to have WhatsApp and buy Instagram and do all this other? Should that be allowed?
Your listener who asked that question is a very good question asker, because it should never have been allowed if this is where they thought they would be. Because they had hearings on Instagram, they had hearings on WhatsApp, the FTC basically, they took a month, they heard people talk, and they said, yeah, this is fine, we're not going to make any changes or any recommendations. The one thing they said when they did, they said that during Instagram. The one thing they said during WhatsApp is, please make sure that you realize you need to keep data separate between the two. So that came up, but not in any kind of way where people were really, really thinking about it. And I think what happens, to get more into that question, I think what happens now with the competition is, if you're a social media platform and someone says, you should come out with a social media platform that does this, are you willing to do that, knowing that Facebook might just copy you or take you over or buy you? You know, it's like, it really depends. If these companies were separate and doing their own thing, competition may be more healthy. So I think that there's this constant fear that people are not competing because of that. But, you know, at the same time, you have apps like TikTok, which is not afraid to compete. And they're actually a really formidable competitor. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
I want to get back to that in a second. The lawsuit here is contending that Facebook has used its dominance, its monopoly power, to crush smaller rivals, snuff out competition, all at the expense of everyday users. There's the user part of it, but there's also the competitive side of it. And that's what you're talking about. Because this idea that they become so big that Facebook can just gobble up any possible competitor, that is bad for business in general. And they quote that 2008 email from Zuckerberg himself, where he says it's better to buy them up than compete. The Federal Trade Commission says, well, wait a minute. This is proof, right? Here's all we need.
Yep.
So there's the user part of it, and then there's the unfair competition part of it. Which one do they look at more? How do they weigh this? Maybe that's a legal question. I know we're going to talk to Karen Conti, but it sort of feels as if you got two things to worry about here.
I would not want to speak for somebody in the legal profession, but I would be surprised if that person did not say that it's a combination of both. It certainly is the business aspect, but it is the personal aspect too. There's a lot of confusion among consumers. I know, you know, because you're in radio, I'm in social media, that Instagram is owned by Facebook. I know WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. I know all of that kind of tree, you know, how those things go, but the average consumer, I really don't think, thinks about that. So when a consumer gives data somewhere and they're saying, oh, I'd never give my data to Facebook, but I'll get it here, they may be unknowingly and unwittingly giving it to Facebook. So I think it's the personal and the business. But to the business point, this is a really fascinating thing also. Facebook did think that it was invincible, that it could buy everything. A few years ago, it approached Snapchat CEO Evan Spiegel, and it said, we want to buy you for $3 billion. And the way I remember it, Evan Spiegel laughed and said, no, 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 we're not going to be part of Facebook. We're doing it on our own. Facebook was not happy at the time. Facebook was like, oh, you know, we want this. And Snapchat went on to become extremely popular. In fact, you could argue that a lot of the young people who no longer use Facebook today don't use it today because of Snapchat. They came back in a way to use Instagram, but they got off of Facebook because of Snapchat. So Facebook's not always going to be successful, but if you look at what they've done with the platforms that they have now, I mean, there's no telling how much more they could do.
If you look at some of the Wall Street sites, Business Insider, Wall Street Journal, they're saying that they don't know that the courts will buy this kind of thing, breaking up Facebook, that sort of thing. I think that sort of goes to, I mean, they do seem so big, and I'm not a huge fan of the way they're not exactly transparent, I would say, Scott, in the way they let you know how they're using your data or the privacy stuff. They've gotten a lot of trouble for that. In Illinois alone, we had that biometric data lawsuit where they got fined big time, hundreds of millions of dollars because they were using information they said they weren't, like our fingerprints and other stuff. And so that's a problem for me. But at the end of the day, the competitive side of it, it seems like some of these social media companies do just sort of just blow up all of a sudden. TikTok's a perfect example. A year ago, very few of us even knew what that was. It was really young kids like dancing and posting videos. Now that is over, what, a billion users?
It has over a billion users, and to your point, the reason why TikTok became such an issue is mostly because Facebook took notice of it. Facebook said yesterday when they were responding to some of this stuff that TikTok is their most formidable competitor, and it is. Instagram recently launched Instagram Reels, which is basically the copycat of TikTok, and Instagram and Facebook, they are not shy about saying that, you know, sometimes, you know, imitation is its sincerest form of flattery. You know, they take over and they try to do these things. But the people who use TikTok, they're not really switching over to Instagram. Instagram hopes that they do, but the people who use TikTok are extremely loyal to TikTok. When Instagram launched in 2010, the thing that I said about it was, A, it's the social media network of photos, because there was nothing like it back then. And B, the community around Instagram, the people in the comments, it was wonderful. It was so nourishing and just a wonderful place to be. It changed over the years when Facebook took it over. It's no longer like that. But I can totally see now, when I look back in hindsight, how Facebook must have thought, wow, this platform is really going to take off when it comes to photos. We better do something about that. And I think that's one of the reasons why they bought Instagram. So whether or not you argue that they shouldn't have purchased it, or they should have, or this or that, I think the argument becomes what you were saying before. People really don't have a sense of choice. You know, there's just so much. They do if they look at TikTok and Snapchat, but the people and businesses who want to try to create these new platforms, they're at a standstill.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Hey, is there something new we should know about? Because it feels like younger kids are not on Facebook, and maybe not even Instagram, maybe Snapchat, but it's TikTok and YouTube that seem to dominate the time of most of the kids I know. And I just wonder, you know, are there other things on the horizon? What do you see in terms of generationally?
In terms of generationally, honestly, I don't see anything right now that's jumping out and beating TikTok. But the crazy thing about social media, Anna, and I think you know this just from years of using it, things end up on the horizon so quickly, and they either take off or they die on the vine. So I'm thinking of something like, this isn't kids, but I'm thinking of something like Parler, which is the new social media platform for the conservative audience. You know, that took off almost overnight. And whether it lasts or not is one thing that's completely different. But TikTok, the minute it launched, it was popular with kids. There is no way in the world that a kid who loves TikTok is going to rush over to Instagram and say, I'm going to use Instagram now and I'm not going to use TikTok anymore. It's going to be the new people who come in and try those new things and do things like that. But right now, I feel like it's TikTok. And I honestly feel like if there's going to be a social media platform that comes after TikTok that is very popular with the younger set, and I don't know this, I'm just thinking, you know, for my strategy hat, it would be somebody at a company like TikTok or TikTok's company that comes out with a video watching app like YouTube, where young people could watch videos at the same time together and comment on them at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There are platforms now that let you do things like that, you know, with workarounds, and you can listen and watch at the same time. Facebook even has something where you can watch with a friend, but something where you could actually share those videos, watch those videos, talk about those videos. That's the kind of stuff that Gen Z likes.
Okay.
And it wouldn't surprise me if it's a company like TikTok that comes up with something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there will be something. It's just, what is it? Scott, can I get you to weigh in on the conversation we had yesterday quickly? We were talking about how there's so much of our data out there that sometimes it appears as if they can predict what you're thinking or what you're about to do, and then ads pop up for either things you've talked about or you're feeling you need or you didn't even know you needed yet, and that it freaks me out. But I just wonder, if you're very close to this, how you view all that.
It freaks me out too. I really, really want to believe all the things that they say, that, you know, microphones aren't listening to you, people aren't listening to you, it's really by ads. But, you know, somebody for my birthday got me a bag of Japanese Kit Kats because they have all these cool flavors. And 5 minutes later, there was an ad on my Instagram for Japanese Kit Kats.
Get out.
I want to believe. No, it happened just the other day. I want to believe it's because I also have a Pinterest board on it and they are able to see the ads, and that's why. But you're right. The creepiness of the data. Here's the key thing, Anna. Even if they're not listening, even if that's not really a thing, but it just creeps people out, that's the key. It creeps people out. And if people are creeped out, they're going to be scared of it, whether it's on the up and up or not. So I think it's more the perception than it is anything else.
Yeah, it's a perception, and it's just the transparency. If I'm signing up and I'm getting to use Facebook for free, okay, I get it. Something comes with that. There's a trade-off. They're selling my data. Just tell me which data it is and just be clear about it. I don't have to have a legal degree in order to read it and understand it, and then I'll use it, and it's new agreement, and that's how it goes. And then don't later say, oh, no, by the way, we were doing this, even though we said we weren't. That's kind of how it's been run so far, and that's where I feel like maybe, you know, I'm not, there could be some regulation of that piece of it. I don't know if they break up Facebook, but it seems like, just be honest with the consumer.
I think if they are going to break up Facebook, Anna, I think It would take a long time. I don't think it would be as easy as just breaking them up into three pieces. But I think to your point about that, I think that's what it's going to come down to. The one area where Democrats and Republicans agree wholeheartedly is how the data is being used and the transparency. And if they can come together on both sides of the aisle about that, that's where we're actually going to have some help. Democrats want to break up the entire company. Republicans don't necessarily want to do that. But if they agree on the data part, that'll be a huge step forward for consumers and for businesses alike.
Scott Kleinberg, thank you. Appreciate your perspective.
Thanks for having me on, Anna. Nice to talk to you.
Have a good afternoon. That's Scott Kleinberg. We're going to pause here. Karen Conti is going to join in real quick just to weigh in on the legal part of this. Back to my point just a second ago about asking for transparency when you use social media or any of these other sort of tech platforms. Just tell us what it is that the agreement is. Tell us how you're using our data. Just make it easy to understand, and then we sign up, and it all seems fair. There is a call today in the Wall Street Journal. Imagine a nutrition label for cybersecurity. Your milk and orange juice, they have nutrition labels. Soon, your refrigerator and coffee maker could too. For years, consumer privacy advocates have pushed the idea of so-called nutrition labels for devices. Instead of telling consumers how much vitamin B or C or product has, these labels would tell the prospective purchasers how their data will be used and by whom. Maybe that's something that would result of this, but we're talking about the big lawsuits being filed, 46 states, and the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, against Facebook, aiming to break it up. Let's talk to Karen Conti. She understands these kinds of issues, antitrust and that sort of thing. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing well, Anna.
Good. You know, we were just talking, Scott Kleinberg, he was kind of mentioning this, and I thought there's so much legal about this, and that, you know, some are doubting that this could ever really be done. It seems like it would be a big deal for the government to be successful here. What's your take on it?
Oh, I think they can be very successful here. And, you know, they have a lot of authority. These antitrust laws are basically there to protect consumers and also to promote competition. And I guess it's sometimes hard to think, how could it be that you break up a company that's so successful like Facebook? I mean, you know, you don't want to discourage companies from being successful. On the other hand, you know, consumers don't have a choice when they deal with Facebook. It's free. But there really is no choice when it comes to having a competitor that might be better, might protect privacy in a better way, might screen information better. So consumers ultimately are damaged when there is a monopoly, or at least a controlling part of the market is being occupied.
So there's the consumer part of this that you just point out, and then there's the business competition side of things. I guess the government looks out for both interests. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, and I think the idea is that the government wants competition. Competition is good for the businesses because there's more people in the marketplace, but ultimately that benefits the consumer because the idea is that when there's competition, there are better products developed, right? Why should someone develop products when they become complacent because they're a monopolist? On the other hand, prices also go down when there is competition. And again, that doesn't really apply to Facebook in a way, but think about the advertisers on Facebook. Think how much money they pay to be on Facebook because Facebook is it. It's the place to advertise. And that cost of advertising goes up when there's not competition. And what does that do? It drives the cost of products up because advertisers are charging more.
So you do think this could be successful based on what you've seen about the case?
I do. I think that Facebook has huge amounts of money to defend, unlike most lawsuits you see in the world. I mean, you know, they bought Instagram for, what was it, $1 billion. They bought WhatsApp for $18 billion. So you can imagine how much money they are making on a daily basis. And my understanding is that Zuckerberg is going to defend this, you know, and he's got convictions other than money as well. He wants to make sure that he's able to, you know, continue to grow this business. But in the end of it, there could also be a settlement. And in some of these cases, you'll see at the end, the company says, all right, government, let's cut a deal. Let's divest, meaning let's separate our interests in some of these companies, and let's do it our way. And then there's a proposal on how these things can be done to kind of benefit the reasons that these lawsuits were brought in the first place.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. And this new world, in like just 10 years, these companies have grown to this enormous, enormous power in so many ways. And it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Karen, thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Sure. Take care, Anna.